Welcome.
Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 585. I am Chris, not joined by Tony.
Tony's an old man who can't handle his liquor anymore. That's it. I'm saying it. I'm here, the current on the Perfectly Sane Show. It's St. Paddy's Day, Thursday. And Tony's not here. We can owe you soon because he had one too many. And he was just like, you know what, boys? I'm not going to be on a podcast today because I'm going to be over the toilet puking my brains out. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I was going to read the Nancy Pelosi poem, St. Patrick's Day poem for him.
Did she read more than one poem today? Or was, because she was reading a poem from Bono for Ukraine?
Yes. Yeah. All Tony sent in the chat was Ireland's sorrow and pain is now the Ukraine, and St. Patrick's name now Zelensky. And then evidently she introduced Riverdance. I don't know.
I saw something about on Twitter, and I guess it got like a weird reaction.
Like, oh, I bet.
The people that were listening. Whatever.
I mean, that's bad. It's a bad poem.
But I find that a lot of people, a lot of this stuff is very performative. And literally, this is performative. I mean, she might as well be snapping her fingers and being like, "Ooh, Ukraine, Zelensky, Russia, evil." And you know, wearing some dark sunglasses, and it's up there because it's still not the worst thing she's done. When you include stuff like the they took the knee in the kente cloth last year for Juneteenth, or I forget when that was, but yeah. Yeah.
She needs to go away.
The thing is, there's nobody who, there's nobody to take that position because they haven't really, and I hate using the term groomed, but they haven't really put anybody in a position to be able to usurp her, essentially.
Yeah, which is really bad.
And I was going to say the same thing. They're not really putting anybody in a position. Like, there's nobody, as far as I can tell, who's on the up and up to kind of take over for her after this. Like, even if, like, you know, even if somehow the Iraqis held the house this year, it's still going to be her.
Yep.
So.
On from Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, Earl is here, as we've heard.
I wasted my introduction on Tony, who's not even here. So, you know what? That's double poo-poo for Tony. But, happy St. Patrick's Day.
And
two days later.
Yes. Yeah, because this will go up on Saturday. So, I mean, people will maybe celebrate over the weekend, though. Cause,
I will.
Yeah.
I haven't been celebrating now.
Jeff is here as well.
I'm doing St. Paddy's Day wrong. I'm drinking a bourbon. Is that wrong? It's supposed to be beer, right?
It's supposed to be whiskey or beer.
I'm doing bourbon.
I guess it's Kentucky, though, isn't it?
It's an American whiskey, yeah.
It's good. It has alcohol in it.
I thought you were going to say you were drinking water or something like that.
There's water in it, too. I added some water. I'm keeping it classy tonight.
Just cut it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't. Put a little sugar in there. A little muddled cherry.
Yeah, I think what would it be, like Jameson? There's probably some other Irish whiskeys that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Like, what else does he know aside from Jameson?
I am drinking, not Jameson. I'm drinking Buffalo Trace, I believe it's called. It's good. It's very smooth. I like it.
Yeah, I just realized that I have Scotch whiskey, which is from Scotland. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that wasn't what I needed to do. But I am running low on that, so I will finish that off and I will buy a proper Irish whiskey. I mean, the problem is, not the problem is, like, since the pandemic is over, woo, celebrate, pandemic's done. I'm not as home as often to re-up my liquor supply every few months. And this has been there since, like, September, October of last year. So, we'll see.
Looking at Irish whiskey brands, and I know none of these.
I like Jameson. Jameson's good.
That's the only one here I know. I think I've seen, there's this one called Tullamore Dew. It's kind of like a squarish bottle. I think I've seen that before, but I didn't know that's what it was called.
I've been trying to drink a little less, way less beer. I think my body does not like beer anymore, so.
You're getting awesome. I know.
Or even though I cut out part of my body, the struggle continues a little bit. So, been doing one bourbon a night, and well, I broke the rule today. I did have a beer earlier, but whatever.
Yeah, because I went to Tellings. I think when I was, I don't know if I went there or what. I do have a shot glass from them. So I know I had it when I went to Ireland. I know Jameson, of course. I know Bushmills, and I know Redbreast.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. If it's a human, that's weird. If it's a chicken, it's undercooked. So this is a great video game podcast.
This has gone off the rails immediately.
Yeah. we do talk about video games occasionally. I mean, I guess we'll talk about what we've been playing. I have not really had much interest in playing a whole lot of anything consistently, like not sitting down to play. But I did play through Unpacking, which is a little puzzle game on Game Pass. Came out last November, where you unpack boxes in rooms.
A bit more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, like, as you play, like, you're, you know, the room, you start out, the first level is just a bedroom. And it's like a kid's bedroom, and you're unpacking, you know, ostensibly, you are unpacking your room. You know, you're putting stuff away, you know, finding spots to put it in. And the game, the level completes when you put everything in the correct spot. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, but like, you can't have like books stacked on the floor. They should be on the shelf. And then as the game progresses, you are unpacking more and more rooms until the final level. I think it's like 11 rooms maybe. And it's a house. You're unpacking an entire house. It's neat. Like, as you go along, like, you're seeing what people are picking up, what they're keeping, like what this character that who you're unpacking their stuff, you're seeing like what they're keeping. Like, they get a GameCube at some point, and you're unpacking their games, and you know, as they move from, like, you know, their dorm to their apartment to their house, like, you see, like, at some point the GameCube isn't there anymore. The games are and the controllers are, but they've like upgraded to a Wii. It's like, it's neat. Like, you see, like, as people, you know, what you're throwing away, what you keep.
No, I'm curious. I assume much like me, you played this on the Xbox, and maybe I wasn't. It's fascinating that it's a GameCube. You would think, like, if anything, they'd make it like systems, like, generational specific. It's like, you could have done an Xbox, an Xbox 360, an Xbox, you know, X. So it's fascinating that they didn't do that.
Yeah, well, I think, like, I mean, it was, you know, I think they probably just created it. It's like just an indie game.
Yeah,
and they had like a specific story. Probably whoever wrote the, because there's a narrative to it.
In a way, you are moved. Like, you start off in, like, your childhood bedroom, then it's your college dorm, then it's like your first house, and then, like, you get a family and stuff like that. So I do like that. It's a story that doesn't tell you the story. I do think you get pictures or you can take pictures of the bedrooms and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And even stuff like the posters you hang up give you a kind of glimpse into like what they're into, what they're fans of at the time. So yes, it's a very cute game. And to your point, it doesn't necessarily give you instructions in terms of like, okay, this goes here. It's like you finish unpacking, like a lot of that stuff is very natural. Like, you know, jeans go in your closet, shoes go on the ground.
Yep.
But then there's stuff like I remember, I think it's the first or second staging area where my, for me, like a lot of the office supplies go on my desk, but some of that stuff they want in your desk drawer and yep. not on the table itself. And then like as you get older, it's like, okay, magazines don't go, like some people keep magazines in their bathroom to read. And it's like, no, it goes in the living room on the table or something like that. So it does get more specific. But again, it's more like, I finished unpacking everything. Is this correct? And it's like, no, you still have some errors. And that's when it gets you, give you feedback. It doesn't tell you you're wrong while you're unpacking.
No, like you can get everything out and then it like kind of highlights it. Like when everything's out, it highlights like what is out of place. And it might not be like you may unpack something in one room and it actually belongs in like another room. It's just been put, like anybody that's moved knows that stuff kind of just like, oh, I have this extra thing, and it ends up with your kitchen stuff. But it ultimately belongs in you know, your bedroom or the living room or wherever.
And that's the other thing is with the boxes, because we've all moved and stuff like that. Like there's no rhyme or reason sometimes. Like there'll be times where it's like, oh, this is a bathroom box. And like the third item will be like, oh, here's like your DVD, like a random DVD or something like that.
Yep.
And it's also partial Tetris because like each item takes up a space, and depending on how you put it in, you can like sometimes you have to rearrange it because it's like, oh no, like you know, this can go on top of this, but that, you know, it doesn't work in reverse. Like you want to put books in a certain way so that they, you know, fit one in front of another. I think at one point you collect vinyls or CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so stuff like that. So yeah, I really had a good time with when I was saying that.
Yeah, I did too. It was like kind of, it's very chill. Like, it's not like, there's no pressure to it. It's just, you know, you're just unpacking stuff. And you know, there's something comforting, maybe not comforting, but relaxing about like placing stuff in like this imaginary space.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because it's like, I find the act of packing and unpacking stressful and
relaxing. Oh, yeah.
And I feel like because it's not like there's no punishment. It's not like, oh man, like, oh crap, where did I put the dishes? Oh man, I put the towels in the linen closet, but did I put all it? Like, you don't have that actual real life stress. I find it like a good compromise and like, oh, I'm not freaking out while doing this that I would sometimes do with real life packing.
Yeah, yeah. There was one puzzle on the last, like, well, there was a couple puzzles where I was like, don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Cause there's when you first move into your apartment or whatever, I didn't know what the items were. They turned out they were magnets, but I didn't know what the hell they were. So I'm like, you know, putting them on a table, like, you know, they look like cute little knickknacks, putting them in the office. Like, it's like, nope, nope, nope.
What
the hell are these? And they stick to the refrigerator, and that's where they wanted them.
That's actually a really good point, because there are things where it's like if you're not like really, because it's not like brand names or anything, it's just kind of like, here's something,
yeah.
Put it somewhere, and like if you don't know what it is, it can be very like, I don't know what to do with this. I forget what that happened to me early on too. I'm just like, this is, oh, I think it was the post-its, because I think they're folded up.
Yeah,
and I thought they were like something you put on the desk until I realized you could unfurl them and then hang them on the wall.
Yeah, if you like put them up on the wall, it unrolls and it's like, oh, that's a poster.
Yes, but if you don't, it's rolled up and it's like, oh, like I'm thinking like, oh, this is like a piece of paper that you're using to draw something.
And then on the final level, I ran into like a pair of items that they evidently need to be in very specific spaces, because I had like the baby bouncy seat in the nursery. And, like, I just had it on the floor because that's where you would put it. But it wanted it like closer to the wall. It wouldn't clear until I put it over there. And then there was like a linen basket or something and it wanted it next to the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Some of that stuff is weird, too. Like, I remember that with the toilet paper, because it's like they wanted to, like, some people like stack it up, and then some people get that toilet paper holder. I'm like, oh, I would keep an extra roll next to the toilet and then hide the rest. But it's like, no, they have to be inside the cupboard and underneath.
Yeah.
Like, it's an interesting way that, like, I get what it's going for. And again, I really enjoy the game, but sometimes it's like, oh, this is not necessarily what I would do in my house.
Exactly. It's like that. You kind of have to, like, figure out how would you, if you were this person, how would you do it? But you can't really figure out how they would place stuff because you're the one that's been placing it since they were like 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, this isn't how I would design this, but okay, you want it to be very specific. It was very neat, though. I liked seeing the, you know, kind of the, because you don't ever see any people, but you do know that, like, there are relationships that happen. And as you said, like, you know, at some point you actually have a family, you eventually have a kid, or the person that you're unpacking for. So it was neat. It was, like, neat seeing this whole progression. And it's a very easy, I think there's 25 achievements, very easy 1,000 achievement points or platinum trophy if you're looking for that. So, but that's it for what I've been playing. Earl, what have you been up to?
Not a ton. I will say I dug into, I mentioned before, I have several game nights on here, and like, we've been playing a game, but we've not been able to kind of get all four of us together, so we're like, oh, we're going to find out if we play a game to check out, and we've decided to check out Rocket League, which I've owned for years. I know it's free to play now, but I've owned it on both the Switch and the Xbox, and I am really bad at that game. it's not so much that I'm bad, but it does take some getting used to understand how it works and kind of get in a rhythm with that. If you've been living on the rock for the past 5 years for some odd reason, Rocket League is a car-powered soccer game is the best description I can give it.
That's true.
It is it's a competitive game. So it's either 2v2, 3v3, or 4v4. And like, the whole idea is to use these cars with their very finicky gravity-defying maneuvers to essentially move, you know, a soccer ball into your opponent's net. And it can be fun and a bit chaotic. I think for me, what I was trying to adjust to more than anything was the camera, because you can have the camera lock onto the ball, which in some ways makes sense, except that we've all played
games. I don't like it.
We've all played games where you kind of have that fixed camera, which is fine like 75% of the time until somehow like the thing that you're fixed on gets either behind you or to a weird side, because then you're kind of like having inverse controls. Because again, you're locked onto the object, but you're moving away from it, which then means that you're going backwards and not forward.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You feel way out of whack if you like it's. It's like a good tool to like click on sometimes when you're like lining up a shot or something, but
yeah,
I couldn't imagine playing the whole game like with that camera.
So what I started to do to Jeff's point, because the other camera, the problem with that I find is like sometimes you can lose track of the ball.
Yeah,
is to like tap it, find where the ball is, and then go back to the free camera. That seems to be the best option, and then it still gets some getting used to because again, like I, you know. My spatial awareness is not fantastic, and stuff like that. But and we weren't doing great. I think we got thrown out almost every game we played. But I mean, by the end of the night, we were getting better. And I do want to put more time into it because it does seem fun. I mean, and again, it wouldn't be around this long if it wasn't fun. And yeah, I don't see any. It's a good game. And then the other thing I would say is just kind of an update on Nobody Saves the World, which that came out this year. It still remains of my top games. I really feel like it's, I mean, granted, it is March. I'm not naming Game of the Year contenders right now. But it remains a ton of fun. I like that they give you a lot of different characters and classes to unlock, and how they play similarly but different enough is it's very fun. I think, you know, we just unlocked the egg, which I thought was just an ability, but it actually does engage in combat and stuff like that. And I mean, how many games can you say you play as an egg? So the only thing I will say, and this is more of a me and my friend thing, oh my gosh, is that it is sometimes very easy to kind of get lost. Not like lost, but like lost in terms of what you need to do next. Because like, there's a lot of stuff going on, and sometimes tracking down what needs to be done it's not necessarily marked, and getting there can be a puzzle all on its own. So yeah, but still, I mean, it's on Game Pass, which is where I'm playing it. I highly recommend checking it out.
Nice. Jeff, what have you been playing?
Playing this little game. Maybe you guys have heard of it. It came out a couple weeks ago. It's called Elden Ring.
Nope. Never heard of it. We definitely did not talk about it last week when you weren't on. That did not happen.
It actually got me to listen to the show for once, because I was like, what the fuck did these guys have to say about this fucking game?
Everything great.
It was interesting hearing, like, your guys' perception of, like, the game as people who had not played it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Got everything wrong, but... so, yeah, I've been playing a ton of that. I beat the game. I actually beat it right around when you guys were recording last week, and started a second character, and all told, I've probably put in... between the two characters, like 160 hours. So,
wow,
I like it. I guess, you know, right off the top, I think it is a great game. Yeah, there's things you can nitpick and whatnot, but it is one of those games. It's kind of like dethroned Breath of the Wild for me. But yeah, I guess to clear up some things that we got wrong, like there's one thing I got wrong, I think, anyways, which is I think I said that the map is about the same size as Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Having beaten it, I do think that the map here is bigger. Because just for one, you think you're at the edge of it, and then there's like a whole region north of that edge. And you're like, okay, that's the edge. And then there's a whole region. Like it keeps going more than you'd expect. You'll find things that are like outside the edge of the map. Like all of a sudden, you'll get transported to this whole fucking area that you couldn't even have guessed was there. And there's a whole map underneath the map. So like, there's an underground city that's pretty expansive. It's not like the underground map is the same size as you know the main map, but
it's not like the Dark World in Zelda, which would be the same, just reversed, right?
No, it's like you take an elevator down, all of a sudden you're in the city, like this, you know, city full of stars. It's underneath the ground. It's its own area, its own bosses, and all that. And so, like, yeah, just looking at the map, you might think that they might be of the same size, but I think that Elden Ring is probably bigger than Breath of the Wild. And more importantly, is that, you know, you'll stumble upon entirely optional areas. Like, I think the whole underground cities might be optional completely, and you could completely miss it. You know what I mean? There's areas our friend Sean is talking to me about. I'm like, dude, I've not seen that. He was like telling me about yesterday some windmill village. I'm like, dude, I have never seen that. And then last night I was trying to get to this place called Volcano Manor, and I took a wrong turn and I started going up this mountain, and I ran into the fucking windmill village, which looks like it's like something out of Midsummer, and all the enemies are like dancing around and singing, and it's really fucking creepy. So yeah, that's I think one thing I got wrong. it's funny listening to you guys, because it's like, you know, maybe if they did this, maybe if they did this, maybe I'd be more interested. And it's like most of the things that you guys were saying last week is like in Elden Ring. So,
like specifically, do you have anything that like?
Yeah. Like I think Earl said, like, you know, I would like a map and markers, and it's like that's all. You know, there is a map, there's markers that you could place. The game will actually sometimes even place markers on the map for you to you know, here's something that you need to do or something that you might want to do.
They did just add a patch today that updated some stuff with the map and NPCs. Yeah. And
yeah, so like if you look at a city now, it'll list like all the important, like if you put your cursor over a city, it'll kind of list the important things that are there, like such as like, you know, the NPCs that you might talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, one thing I think probably my favorite thing about their games is like they don't spell things out too much for you. But that said, like they do, like they're just not going to put it in your face like a normal, like an Ubisoft open world game. Like you have to, like, if you get into an area, you have to like talk to the characters there and they'll tell you, hey, maybe you should go north to this area next. But like, they're not going to like beat you over the head with it, so to speak, you know what I mean? But again, that said, like sometimes they will like say, we marked your map and you could check your map. And even to the point in Elden Ring where like the bonfires, which they always change the names of everything in these games, but like in this one they're called like Sites of Grace. When you find one, it'll have like a yellow stream coming out of it, like going through the air, and that is like pointing you towards a point of interest, like, you know, something nearby in this direction is something you might want to check out. It's not always like a critical path type thing. You know, it's hard to say what the critical path kind of is on this type of game, you know. Right. It's very open to like Breath of the Wild, in which like you could kind of do things how you want, but in my opinion there is an order to the areas just based on difficulty and how to get to them and stuff. But you could pause the game. I think that's one of Tony's big points. It's weird.
And you, because like that seems to be something that lots of people are like, you can't pause it.
No,
it doesn't have a pause button, but you can pause the game.
Yes, but
you have to that like select. You know,
yeah, you have to go into a sub menu essentially.
Yeah, you have to bring up the map, and then you have to click on Show Map Info. Which, yes, so it's not like if you're about to get.
I said a pause button.
I didn't say it was a pause button. I said you could pause the game.
Okay,
but yeah, I think that's kind of where people and I think that was more the point. Was not necessarily that there isn't a pause function, but it's kind of buried so deep into these some weird systems.
I don't even know if they intentionally put it in there. I've never used it. Like, I've never felt the need for a pause button in these games, because like when you die, you get put back by your last bonfire. That's a safe spot. So like, I get up and walk away if I want to do something. And I would never pause in the middle of a fight anyways, because I don't want to throw off my, you know, I would come back and get killed. I'd throw off my rhythm or something.
No, but I mean, and to Tony's point, life happens sometimes. Like, your kid.
Yeah, true. What if you're playing a match of Halo? How do you pause that? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, you're making a bigger deal out of something than I think it really is. I don't know.
Yeah, but a match of Halo is 8 minutes long, as opposed to like I've put 20 hours into something and now I'm dead because I had to get up and go answer the door. My dogs were fighting or something.
I would also say that I think it's more of expectations. Like, you don't expect to be able to pause online games. You kind of know what you're in for. Where I think most people tend to think you can pause a single player game, because there are two different expectations when you're playing online versus offline. Like, to your point, yes, if I was playing Halo, what I would probably do is find some type of corner I can hide in so I'm not getting sniped every 15 seconds. So that, but I have teammates to cover for me. It's not like I'm stopping it. Or you can quit. You, like, with single player, it's like, oh, I want to be able to pause this game, do something, and come back to it, because there's nobody covering my ass. and it should be in control because I'm not affecting anybody else by pausing the game.
I've never had an issue with pausing in the game, like in any of these games, because like I said, like you're dying like every fucking couple minutes, and when you die, it's you're in a safe spot, like you said, like so. I don't know, like if that really bothers you, sure, but like again, you also can pause the game here, so it's like. I don't know.
No, I think again, the overall takeaway from the conversation last week was it, and I think it's what you're getting into it without getting into it. It's like there are a lot of flaws that are kind of hampering it from being something that a lot of outsiders want to get into. Stuff like, oh, maybe I see a giant boss and go into the arena. I want to pause for a second to collect myself before I start the battle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to. To you know, you being able to pause. I don't see it as like a. I don't know. I think it's a weird thing to like be like super worried about.
Again, I don't think it's a singular issue to be worried about. It's okay. Like for instance, I saw this conversation happen this week where people were complaining about folks using the spirits or whatever they're called,
mm-hmm.
and it's like like people are saying, oh, that's the easy mode. It's like. But they're in the game for a reason, and it's clear
that's kind of going to my next point.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I find the people that are like that like really annoying. Like, first of all, if it's in the game, then you could that's a legit way to play the game.
You should be able to use it. Yeah.
If you want to play where you don't summon the spirits, good for you. But you're not gonna get any sort of like fucking medal from me because you did that. And they put those spirits in there for a reason. And same thing with co-op. So like, kind of my next point is there's a big misconception about co-op being easy mode. And at least in this game, it is definitely not the case. Because they make the bosses harder if you are not playing alone. They don't make them harder if you bring your spirits, like the NPCs that you could summon. But if you're playing co-op, like online with other players, the bosses are buffed. They have way more health. And so...
Which makes sense. I mean,
it's not easy. There's specific, like... there's a boss called the Draconic Tree Sentinel that is a million times easier if you're by yourself. Like, at least it was for me. And this game in particular has a lot of bosses where it's two things that you're fighting at once, which they kind of stepped up in Dark Souls 3, and it's even more so here. And I, me personally, that's the point where I need someone else there. But I think that, like, they make it that way because they intend you to... Like, those are not designed for one person to take on by themselves. They give you the spirits in case you don't want to play online. But, granted, there's people that will beat the game in an hour or whatever, but a lot of these people that are so tough... They're gonna have a hard time late in the game sticking to their guns about not summoning people. Very late in the game, last five or so bosses are some of the hardest things I've ever experienced in my life. And there's a conception that like, and I've done this in their other games too, where it's like you summon people in and they kind of carry you through the fight. There's no. Like, the guy that I did the final boss with, he straight up, like, I told him, I go, I want you to carry me like a little baby in your arms. he said, he's like, even if I could do, or he's like, he goes, first off, I wouldn't do that because I want you to have fun and, you know, get the feeling of satisfaction of beating him. He's like, secondly, you're not going to find someone who could carry you through this boss, you know, like, you got to work together. And so, I just want that was another thing I wanted to clear up about like the co-op being easy mode. I mean, good luck to you guys out there who think that getting through the end of the game. Like I'd be very surprised if some of these people would claim that they never summon get through the last couple bosses. It's doable.
Oh yeah, I mean there's people out there doing crazy things, yeah. But they are also incredibly talented players. Like, you know, they have found the exploits. They know how to, like, you know, work around things. And they're just highly skilled at the game to start with. So
yeah.
they got good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like really good.
Yeah. The second to last boss has a move where he stomps the ground. Like he stomps the ground with one of his feet. Right. And it sends this wave of, you know, like a shock wave out that'll hurt you. But the wave goes throughout the entire arena. So there's no, like, you know, like a lot of these games, you like roll to get away from the boss or like just run to get away from the boss. Right. There's no running away. Like he stomps, that fucking wave is going to come for you and damage you badly. And the only thing you do is perfectly time a jump or do a roll so that you're in the air doing the roll as the wave is going past you. Good Lord, was that frustrating. I just, like, you could be on the other, like, you could be 100 feet away from this boss and you still have to time his fucking stomps to not get hit. And then you get hit and you're like, ah, I want to drink a health potion. And it's like, as you're drinking the health potion, here comes another fucking wave hurting you even more. God damn, that boss was fucking hard. There's been a lot of talk about the strength build being shit and just getting its ass kicked. And a lot of our friends, Aaron, Sean, they're like obsessed with tinkering with their character and respecking. I think there is some truth to, you know, because I played the strength build. I just like playing like that. It is harder than before in terms of, like, you know, I've put massive amount of experience into, you know, my endurance and my health. I should be able to withstand a blow from a boss without it eating through my entire green bar and part of my red bar. But the thing I've been telling the friends who, like, don't like the build that they've chosen is believe in the build. Keep fucking double down and build onto it, in my opinion. Be dumb like me and keep going. Because more than build, it's just the, you know, you gotta level up. Like, I stumbled upon an area that was early on in the game that would have kicked my ass, and I walk in there with my strength build and fucking destroy shit. So, I don't know. But I think there is some truth to that, because, like, my second character I made was the astrologer, which is, like, the mage or the magic character, and I'm kind of, I've been steamrolling through the game, like, just killing bosses solo, and, you know, there's situations where, like, the, you know, magic is not ideal, but for the most part, you stand back. But that's always been, like, the case, like, it's always been, Chris, you went, when you played Demon's Souls, like, you know, didn't you read, like, oh, that's the easiest.
Yeah, that's what they said, and then I come up to a boss that has a goddamn shield, and I can't hit.
Yeah, yeah,
that's my magic, and
yeah,
so you have to get close to them to do it. But yeah, like that seems to be like what Pyromancer and Dark Souls is considered the easy build. Like
it's always like the caster has always been.
Yeah, cause you could stay easier. Back where you don't need to get up close on them, and you do damage regardless.
And now you can, like, you have these, like, spirit summons. Like if you're playing solo, they're totally distracted the boss for you, and you're just standing on the other side of the arena going, zoom, 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 shooting your fucking spells. Also, by the way, the spirit summons, there is a lot of different ones, and it's really cool. Like, you might be going through the game with totally different spirit summons than someone else. Like, you find them in caves and whatnot, and, like right now, I summon, like, five nobles, they're called. I think they're, like, faith-based magic, maybe. Near the end of my first playthrough, I was summoning five Great Shield soldiers. So, like, these guys are just fucking, like, tanks walking in and pressing up against the boss with their shields. A very popular one that is, I think, the first one that everyone gets is, like, a floating jellyfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my friends.
It shoots poison. That's a really tempting one to stick with because he's floating around. It's hard for, like, if it's a boss that's on the ground with a just a shield, like, you can't really do anything to it, you know? I do think, you know, you continually, as you get deeper in the game, you find, in my opinion, better and better ones. But then, like, those ones will be weak compared to the ones you got to level up. And then you have to go, okay, am I going to switch to these and level these up?
The one that I heard is broken is the Mimic?
Yeah, so I did not find that on my first playthrough. I kept hearing people talk about the Mimics here, and I did not realize they were talking about a spirit that you could summon. Good lord, because I found it yesterday in the game. Thing kicks ass, dude. It's just a copy of you, so it has all the powers and shit that you have. Although I guess the update like made it not as good somehow.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I found the damn thing too late. And I don't know if this is part of the update or whatever, but when you use this, when I use this like that mimic tier, it like when I cast it and I set it out, like it takes it. Eats my entire bar of health, and I have to use a health potion right after. It's like a fucking penalty for using this fucking easy mode type thing. But yeah, that thing, you know, I am, let me put it this way, I have it equipped at the moment, and I'm just trying to level it up more. But anyways, I think that was just some things that I thought were worth touching on. But yeah, really great game. I am... probably, like, the spell is about to break for me, just because I'm pretty deep now with my magic character, and I think it's time for a break after that.
I mean, 100, so, and you yeah. have, there's nobody that can claim you did not get your money's worth out of this game.
No, and then, you know, I do, you know, somewhere down the line, maybe in the summer or something, I would like to try a dex build, or maybe... some of the faith, I was looking at like the lists of sorceries and whatnot, some of the faith-based spells or whatever in this one sound pretty awesome. Like, this one I kept seeing people use in co-op where they would like throw ice out on the ground and it would really just fuck up whatever was standing in the way of the ice, I think is not, unfortunately, not a sorcery, it's faith. So, I don't know. I'm working on, I've completely overcommitted to just leveling up my intelligence stat, which is like your magic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like at level, like I have that like up to 70, and meanwhile my bar of health, like my red bar, is just super small. Like I'm super squishy. Like if something sneezes on me and gets too close, I die. But I could fuck shit up with my magic. But yeah, like
that's so a like, that's a classic mage build though for any RPG. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They could be super overpowered, but they're, you know, the
yeah.
the detriment is that they have no health.
And, you know, and that's goes to my belief on this, which is believe in your build. Like, if you want to do magic, fucking go for it, you know? Like, don't be afraid of the fact, like, because again, like, if I do get hit, there's points now, I'm deep enough in the game where my health bar is so short that certain things, if they hit me, they're going to kill me. But at the same time, like I just so at when you get your level, I have a spell that you need 70 intelligence to use, and so I just got it earlier tonight, and it's like I basically launch a giant moon at whatever I'm aiming at. The moon flies into that enemy, and then it fucking explodes and creates damage all around that enemy. Like I'm like, hell yeah, dude! But I gotta get some of my other stats up now. I'm just like so overcommitted to the magic. I don't think I'm doing much by leveling it up much further past 70. Anyways, I don't want to bore you guys forever with it, but yeah, like fucking awesome game. I again, like I get that it won't be for everyone. You know, I think like I don't know if like. Just knowing, Chris, like, you know, what you like out of a game, if you'd like it.
I think it's a game that, like, you know, if it'll eventually go on sale. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's worth trying if it's cheap, but...
like, at $20-$30, I might, you know, take the go on it and see if I get frustrated with it.
I think, I don't know if I said this, not last week or the week before, but I think that, you know, their games, and this game... especially, it's like you get out of it what you put into it, but it's like I understand that, like, you're like you have to like really commit to it. Like, that's how you'll get into it. Like, you have to be like, this is what I'm playing for the next fucking month, You know what I mean?
And like,
you don't like to do that as often. So
yeah, like it takes a lot for me. Like even Horizon, right? I've fallen off of that for a little bit. Like, it's just like I bounce between a lot of different games, and like sitting down and playing one for 80 hours straight, just that's something I would have done 25 years ago.
And it's like it's like not a game that you can like play for 45 minutes a night or whatever. Like you sit down, you're gonna be playing for minimum 2 hours. Like it's just just the time just kind of goes away. So yes, you have to have some free time too with it. And I
noticed that with, you know, in my time with both Demon's Souls and the original Dark Souls, and it's like. The thing is, if you don't put that time in, you're not making any progress. And that, I think, is what frustrates me.
Yeah.
It's like, I put time in, right? I put an hour in, I put an hour and a half in, but I'm not moving anywhere. And then the levels take so many souls at some point to upgrade that it's like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm not moving at all. I can't get past this boss.
Well, I was thinking about why you might not like the game, and that's like kind of what I came to is exactly what you're saying. I'm like, it's probably because you really have to like you have to commit to it. You have to say this is what I'm playing, and like you know, I just imagining you getting bogged down somewhere early on. That's tough, and like because you're not saying like I am playing this game and I'm gonna fucking beat it. You just kind of go, all right, this is not fun. Like you know whatever.
Right. It's kind of like you with Game Pass games.
Like, yeah, it's easy to bounce off of them. You know?
This didn't catch me, and like, and that's the thing, right? I have,
I
literally have thousands of games.
I think that like, if you did that, if you went in with that mindset, going, I'm gonna play through this game, you would fucking come away loving it. It's awesome combat, you know, a cool, you know, setting and all that. Like, I do think you'd like it, but it's like, that's you know, it has to be. Yeah, it's going with that mindset, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, I understand. I understand why it doesn't, why it is a bad game for me at this time. I'm super happy that you're enjoying it. I will probably poke at it at some point. I think I would have been more keen on trying it, like, with, you know, the influx of everybody. My understanding when we came into it, when you guys were all hyped for it, you know, back last year before it came out,
yeah,
I was thinking like, this is a game like I'll be able to jump in with Jeff and Walt and Sean, and like we can all just like ride around like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and I can just like hang back and shoot a bow or something, and like that's like co-op doesn't seem like that's what it is. Like you call your friend in.
I mean, you can kind of like you know, but it's not like your traditional like you could play through the whole game together. But like,
right. Yeah, it's
you could be like, I'm about to do Stormveil Castle. I'll summon you right here, and then like we could run through the whole level together, and I carry you like a little baby in my arms. but yeah, it's you know, it's a little more limited. Like you can't just run around the whole open world together.
Right, and I mean that's completely on me for and you know other people for thinking that was how they were going to do it. Like there was no indication that that's what they were going to do. Nah, it was just like they made an open world Souls game.
Now I am curious, Jeffrey, since you are the resident Soulsborne fan, is there a game like that?
Like what?
Like what Chris was saying. Like you make a difficult game. But like you and your friends can like grow through town together and engage and learn this combat together, or
a difficult game.
Well, yeah, like a Souls type game,
The thing that was coming to my mind is like you could kind of play Borderlands, you know, with your friends all the way through, right? Like,
but that's not that's not a difficult game.
I don't know, no, but like. You could experience a lot of if you're determined to play through this with a friend, you could experience I'd say most of it together, but it's just, you know,
it's not like I think it works
the way it is, like the way it naturally happens, where it's like let's work together on this thing, you know what I mean, and then you go off and explore on your own.
Like, yeah, as I say, it's close to like Monster Hunter World, where it's like you're not going to explore with your friends. You're going to just engage in the big enemy.
Yeah, let's go do the big fights together. Yeah. Like, are you ready to go do the boss of Stormveil? Okay,
I think what I want, Earl, is that game like where we can all go explore together, right?
Yes.
But it's like, yeah, and like maybe, yeah, maybe
is there games like that? I don't know.
I don't think there is. Like I thought that's what this was gonna be, right? Like I thought it was gonna be the Souls game, but like completely co-op as well. And
I mean, there's people who play through their games co-op together, like, you know. But it's, again, it's like you have to take breaks and go, okay, I'll meet you in the next level, or you know what I mean, right. like that. But there's people that do that.
No, I guess I guess what I was asking for is kind of like you have mods on it, but there's not a ton of like action oriented co-op games. A lot of them are shooter based, like you mentioned. So we've done World War Z, we've done you know, Back for Blood. There was what's the other one? Zombie Army 4. You know,
Dungeons and Dragons, Dark Alliance.
Yeah, I mean that is
something like that. Yeah, one.
I mean, this is more like, that's more arcadey.
Yeah.
Than this, but that's maybe the closest.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're saying like, you know, Sword and Shield type.
Yeah.
Co-op. Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's Dark Alliance. I thought that was a fun game. I thought that was really underrated. Fun. Yeah. I just think, you know, and the combat here is fun, and it's really fun with two people because you do shit like you're constantly trying to, like when you're playing with someone else, you're trying to, you know, let's say a guy's setting up a spell, you're trying to take the aggro off of him. So you're trying to distract the boss, like, come get me. Like, you're hitting him with your sword, you're backing up, you're getting the boss to chase you, and then you're lining up with your friend who's on the other side of the boss so that you can get a spell and it like shoots straight and hits the boss. It's just like a good feeling, like you're working together, and you could use your headset. And I've you know, have gone on mic with people, but it's also just kind of instinctual. Like, okay, I'm gonna draw him off you, and I'm gonna try to stay in a straight line with you so you could shoot your spell right at him, like stuff like that. Yeah, it's really fun combat, two players, I think. But despite what people think, the misconception is like sometimes that could actually be harder. I know someone in real life who's playing through the game with two other buddies, and they, like he said, we've been co-oping the whole game together. And he was the one that went on this rant. Like, I ran into him while I was delivering mail. He's walking his dog, and he's just going on this rant. It's not easy mode, man. It's not easy. But like, we get people like me and him that like do co-op. Like, we get so defensive because of the kind of dick people that like make fun of you for, it's not the true way to play it. It's like, dude, they put it in the fucking game. Don't tell me it's not the true way to play it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that mindset. Like,
and I think that's what a lot of people encountered early on, which, I mean, to kind of roll in a bit to news, like, you, like, it's one of those things where, and you see this in like comic book dumb as well, where it's like something that was kind of not necessarily niche, but it wasn't mainstream. Yeah. And people are so beholden to, like, you have to experience this way.
Yeah, and I hate that attitude. Like, dude, the makers of the game put this in as a way to play the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck do you mean that your way is the right way? That might be the way you like it. Like, you know, it makes you feel better because you did it on your own, but I'm telling you, I'm really interested to see what some of these people who like refuse to summon, like what the experience of the end of the game like is going to be for them. Because right now, like, they're like, I'm not going to name names. They're some of the most miserable people I know playing this game. They're like, it's too hard. They made it too hard. I'm like, yeah, dude, maybe you should use that tool that they gave you in the game, play with other people. I don't know, just an idea.
My favorite thing about that was, because I saw this earlier this week on Twitter, and it was somebody like, you know, like the thing with like fans is like they'll complain about how you play the game, and it was a female, a woman, and she's like, yeah, you know, like people using spirits, and like, oh, nobody's ever gonna tell you not to use the spirits, that's just easy mode. I'm like, you literally know, you're just telling, you're saying what she said in a different way, but it is still the same thing. Like, you're just missing, like you said, a tool of the game. And it's not, like, easy mode to me is, like, when the Mario games, when it's, like, you get the Nuki suit that you can't take any damage. That's easy mode. Literally, you cannot die. Using a tool, because I've seen, I watched a friend play last weekend, and he had the octopus or the,
The jellyfish, the flowing jellyfish. Yeah.
They don't kill it. And if anything, it's an extra buffer. And like, okay, like, you know, like,
they're they distract.
Can, yeah. It's a distraction. You can hail up real quick. You can like, get behind them. But it's not going to kill the enemy for you.
No.
It's not going to do a ton of massive damage.
It's so funny because like the people that say this, I'm thinking of one person together. Like, they're so completely against summoning, but they're totally using the spirits. They also cheese like any. They find any way they can to cheese a boss, like get it stuck against the fence or whatever. That's not cheating. That's just, you know, fighting back at the game. I'm like, okay, dude, but if your whole point is that you're supposed to like learn the patterns of the boss and get good at it, it's like getting it stuck against a wall is not getting good at the boss, dude. It's finding some fucking exploit that you saw on YouTube and just copying that, and you're not doing anything. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like, yeah, summoning's cheating, but fucking cheesing every boss, that's totally the legit way to play the game. It's like, I mean, if you like to do it that way, fucking more power to you, man. Like, I don't care. As long as are you having fun with the game, that's all I care. Like, I don't understand, like, this, I don't know. I will say this, like, I do think that big majority of people that play these games, like, the community for this game, I think is, kind of going to your guys' conversation last week, just, like, really nice. Like, they don't, like, you know, you can say, I'm going to suck at this boss, and they're like, don't worry, man, you don't suck. Like, you're just going to, we're going to figure it out together. Like, it's very, I don't know, it's completely different than my experience playing shooters or anything. Like,
and I will say it as much, and I agree with you, is I think there is a very core group of the demographic that is very welcome. It's very kind of, you know, it's very, yeah, very helpful. They will help you out. They will give you tips and tips. The problem is, and I think this goes for a lot of fandoms, is the ones you find on social media are the really toxic and nasty ones who are so grumpy that you are not experiencing it the way they want you to experience it. And the ones who will come out and be like, you know what? No, you can't use summons. No, you shouldn't be able, you know, like, you can't spam magic. No, you need to play it this way and this way only. And it's like, no, if people are like, I'm not counting anybody's pocket. If you buy a game, that's your money. What you do with it is your business. I'm not going to sit here and be like, okay, you know what? No, you need to pay 150 hours. You need to get all the, you need to get a platinum trophy. You need to like fight every boss one-on-one with like three, you know, like you know, like how people, what is it? The Nuzlocke Pokemon where it's like, anytime a Pokemon gets KO'd, I think it's dumb, but if you have fun with that, that's on you.
What I want more than anything is I want people to have fun with it and to see what I see in it. Like, it's like, I hate that type of, like, of shit. Like, there's a coworker when I find that bought the game thinking it was going to be like Skyrim, and I felt bad for her, and I'm like, I would totally, if she had on the same platform as me, I'd be helping her out. I'd be like, here, do this, do that, like, or like, you know, you want me to come and like help you fight something? But yeah, you know, anything that is big and popular, you're gonna have these assholes. I just find that it's kind of like surprising to me how like nice this community is about helping each other when it comes to like bosses and shit. Like, I told the guy that I was going to fight the final boss with that I was going to suck, and it ended up taking us like 3 hours to beat this. So this guy stuck with a stranger for 3 hours fighting this boss over and over and over. He sent a message saying like, it was an honor to fight alongside you. You did awesome. Like, I was just like, I don't know, I probably did about 30% of his damage. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, thanks, dude. You know, like, it's surprising like how common that type of attitude is with helping each other. You know, yeah, there's, of course, you know, and I know, I personally know people who are like, yeah, you have to play it this way and that, and it's like, whatever, dude. But I just find it surprising how, by and large, like, the community is like, just you would expect the would be like, you fucking suck, dude. Why did you not, you know, fucking dodge? You got us killed. Like, we almost had him. Like, nobody is like that. Like, when you're playing,
yeah, like, doesn't say there are people like that. But again, like you said, they aren't the people you're finding playing the game. Because I mean, hindsight being what it is, they're also probably not the people who are trying to help other people get
better. Yeah, maybe that's it, right? Like, you know,
if anything, I would imagine they are the people who would randomly spawn into your game just to grief you and kill you.
And I like, you know, I help people out now too, and so like I try to keep that attitude going forward. Like the guy dies on us at the very end, I try not to get upset at him. I'm like, dude, it's okay, we'll get him next time. You know what I mean? Like, I think part of it is just like the hell that these games put you through is like, your brothers in arms. We're gonna get this fucker. You know what I mean? But yeah. I don't know. I think that's like a neat part of it. But yeah, of course, there's always gonna be those people that are just like.
And they're unfortunately the outwardly facing people that other people experience, like, because like if you get into the community, then you're like, you know, you're seeing the good side of it, but you have to get there first.
I just, again, like my main point with all of this is like, I just expect, like, if you were playing co-op with someone and you die at the very end, I would expect that person to just fucking be like, you fucking idiot, you fucking suck. But like, this never happened to me once. Playing co-op with these games, it's always just like, well, we'll get them next time, let's go again, you know. Anyways, we went long on Elden Ring. I think that covers it. I don't think I'll have much more to say going forward until game of the year time.
Well, like I said, I was gonna put the parlay into news. It did come out that Elden Ring sold what, 12 million copies in the first two weeks or so.
No longer niche.
And that is gone. It's kind of been even up that way, still for the last few entries. But yeah, it helps that it's also on four platforms. But it's also like, and I am curious to see it going forward, because I do feel like there was a lot of hype and anticipation around it. I was talking to a friend earlier who was like, one of his friends who really does not play a ton of games picked it up because, you know, not even because of the game or the hype, but because of George R.R. Martin and, like, you know, people like that fantasy setting. But I'm curious to see, like, how many people picked it up with, like, I had friends who told me. Like,
there's a lot of the bosses past the midway point of the game when the achievement pops, it's like 1.12% of players have gotten this achievement. So I'm like, again, the perfect example is my coworker. She saw me posting pictures of the game on Facebook, and she thought it looked like Skyrim. That's why she bought it. And she's already told me that she bounced. She's like, dude, that game's fucking hard. Like, what the fuck? And her husband works at our office, too. And he's like, she couldn't get past the tutorial.
Yeah, and that's what I'm curious about, because I do think, I mean, there's a big marker for fantasy. I mean, when you think about it.
Yeah, so it's like, it was, I guess, marketed well. It had a different name. It had that George R.R. Martin angle. You know what I mean? I think it's going to make a lot of new fans, too. I think these games, if you put the time in them, it clicks and you go, oh, I see. Like, you know.
The problem is how many people are going to make this.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And I feel so bad. Like, I anytime she, like, brings it up with me, I try to throw her little hints, and I'll be like, hey, you know, you just gotta, like, you're gonna suffer, but, like, trust me, anyone on the show, anyone that plays games at all can beat these games. Like, it's not, it's just, you have to have the mindset to do it, that's all. It's not, they're honestly not as hard as a lot of fucking, like, old 2D games, you know what I mean? Like, but you just, they will smack you in the face if you walk in thinking it's gonna be Skyrim. She's gonna knock you on your ass, you know.
Yeah. So that is fascinating. But yes,
I mean, I know. I wondered the same thing, or I was thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, it's a huge hit, but that means there's a lot of first time players that went in that have never heard the word Dark Souls, like the phrase Dark Souls. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. You know what I mean? And it's you know, their design philosophy is very different than other games. You know what I mean? Like, even if you generally like video games, you might not play something like this that doesn't overtly explain everything to you. You know what I mean? Like it gives you this one gives you the basics. Like, it has an okay tutorial, and it'll tell you things the first time you run into it. But, you know, after that, it's kind of like, we're not going to hold your hand, you know? Like, you can figure it out. Best was the honest game trailer. The game that gives you more credit for being smart than you actually are. It's also true, because, you know, I have to turn to the internet always to figure out what I'm doing. But that's the thing, a lot of people aren't going to do that, you know what I mean? They're going to run into something hard and be like, what the fuck is this?
And I think, you know, I made a point of it last week, and yes, you, but I also do think that, like, we've gotten accustomed to a certain level of user experience in games. And I think one of the big ones that is, it's the map. Like a lot of open world games have some form of a way marker or something. And like that is something you said is in the game, but it doesn't seem like it's super.
It's very similar to Breath of the Wild, but like, yeah. But the game just is not, it doesn't force you to go a certain direction. And they will tell you, like, so like when you first enter the open world, there's going to be a guy right there and you talk to him and he'll be like, you should go north to Castle Stormvale. And that's like the first level, right? You should not do what he says. You should go south. Because south has a whole level that's super easy for beginners. And north is the one that's everyone running into that first boss, Margit, that they can't fucking fight because they haven't gone out and explored and leveled up yet. And it's like, they should tell you to go south to the super easy level for beginners. But like, I don't know the game. What I love about their games is that they trust you that you'll figure it out. Like that's really like what I love about it. But again, it's like it goes against like all sorts of like what you're accustomed to. You know what I mean?
I would also say, and I think this is something that comes, you know, with trust, like you said. But the game also, I don't know how do I. It does not necessarily like the gamer. If you aren't familiar with the game, because like I said, I watched my friend play. And he enters a new area, and like this, the best thing I can describe it is as a hand spider. Like descends from the top of like from underneath the ground. Yeah. Like you don't have any rule that it's there.
They love cool like tricks and traps. Like their games are like filled with them. Like you walk into a room, you think everything's good. Like you said, something falls from the ceiling and completely kills you. I think it's funny. Like I think a lot of people that like these games think it's funny to me. It's like it makes me laugh, and you're like, okay, well now I know that for next time. But yeah, I could see maybe not being your thing. I don't know. This might be just my kink. I like getting fucking owned and destroyed by this game, but. But yeah, they've always like they have like. The mimic chests. Yeah. They've had them in all the games where it's like, it looks like a treasure chest and you open it up and it's got teeth and it fucking eats you.
Now, to be fair, that is a trope of
that game. Yeah, fantasy, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, you see those in, like, Castlevania has them. Well, like,
But, no, it's like I said, I talked to my friend and, like, literally, he's playing it like a horror game where like, he'll go through a doorway and he'll just, like, spin the camera in every direction to make sure, like, nothing's hidden in, like, right. Behind the door,
sometimes trap like stuff on a button on the ground, and also you get hit by arrows. So you're like, you thought you were so careful.
Yes, and then like the other thing that I thought was fascinating with exploration is like you'd go in a place, and like Zelda, like, for instance, if there's a wall that you can get through, there's usually some indicator. Like this will, as far as I can tell, there's like no real indicator. You're just smacking random walls.
Well, the indicator is the other players, like the notes.
Yes, but like. Like, yeah, but that, outside of that, there's like no visual indicator that this
somebody wall. Just like was, you know, they were just walking through, slamming into shit, and found it, and like then they dropped you a note for later.
Yeah. Well, yeah, luckily, I mean, the game populates with notes really quick, but yeah, yeah, there was some first guy that was just running around like an idiot, hitting every wall, probably. But he has that message down, and he's getting the perks of having that message appraised by everybody. I forgot what the hell I was gonna say, but yeah, I don't know. What I was gonna say is there is not a mimic chest in Elden Ring. Somehow, there's not one. There've been all their other games. I saw someone on Reddit be like, it would be funny if they just put one single mimic chest in this game, just to fuck with you. But it's not there. At least I've never seen it.
I was gonna say, I guess the counter to that is they have those evil pots. And those things can wreck you. So granted, from what I've seen, a lot of things can beat you up pretty quickly if given a choice.
These little fucking imps are the ones I fucking hate lately. I don't know.
Yes.
I thought there was a giant lobster monster.
I don't think they're shit. I fucking fucked them up.
No, they just look cool. Like
They got like carrying fucking swords and shit. Yeah.
So aside from that, we're not going to talk about that person's new game that had the state of play today. The Monster Hunter Rise had the Sunbreak DLC spot added this week. What else happened this week?
Tunic came out on Game Pass.
Yes. What did
Tunic?
Yeah.
I think it was described as Dark Souls meets Zelda.
Nobody else should try copying Dark. Every time I'm disappointed when people try to copy Dark Souls. Death Store kind of did a little bit of that shit. I'm like, dude, just fucking stop it.
I played the demo. I did not enjoy it when I played it, but we did it over the summer, so maybe things have changed.
Maybe I tried the demo too.
I tried the demo because it was part of like the Xbox. I think I did. But like the games that were, you know, like after E3, they had
yeah.
a bunch of games that were available for download for like that week or so.
There's a evidently there is like some accessibility options, like so you can like, you know, make it so that your stamina doesn't drop if you need that, or if straight up you just want to like completely cheese the game. I don't know why you would do this, but you can make yourself invincible, I guess.
If it's in the game, I will take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see like using it. Like, I can't get past.
Yeah, you know,
wherever I'm at. Yeah. Like, so I'm yeah. just gonna like turn it on to get past it and then turn it off.
What was that 2D? Fuck him. That one hard platformer that came out recently.
Celeste.
I kept wanting to say Catherine. Celeste. Didn't that let you like skip stuff?
It did. It allowed you to like I never used it, but you could set it so like you could like the way the game is like you could have like a double jump or I think like at some point get a triple jump. You could actually make it so you just had like unlimited jumps.
So
you could like it trivializes the game at that point. But
that game was so hard. Even like I people talk about like Dark Souls and shit. Like that is like. To me, and I love platformers, but that to me, fucking hard as shit. That fucking Super Meat Boy game, dude, I could never fucking deal with that shit.
That's one way I could not do. Yeah, like Celeste, I could do. Meat Boy was
ooh. Meat Boy's worse than Celeste for sure, but I found Celeste devious. I couldn't. It's way too stressful. Like I just look at the level and be like, oh no, dude. Anyways.
But yeah, Tunic's out there. I guess there's some other stuff coming to Game Pass. I mean, there always is.
Mario. Oh, that was the other thing that was announced. I don't know if Chris got the chance to watch the trailer, but the Quarry, the new game from Until Dawn, Supermassive Games, developers who are making this very clear that this is not part of the Dark Pictures anthology, and I assume that's partially because they have money now, because this is from 2K and not self-published. I think the other ones were self-published.
They were through Namco Bandai.
Yes, so self-published. but yes, this kind of looks like what you would expect from Until Dawn if Until Dawn took the route of Dark Pictures anthology. It's more of a pure slasher horror film, and it does retain some of the elements. You have co-op, you have that I forget what they call it, like theater mode or whatever, where it's like yep. if you're in the same room, everybody gets to pick a character and they get to make decisions for that as that character. I've actually never done that because, as fun as it may seem, I also don't have like 7 people sitting around to play a horror game with me.
I did not get a chance to watch the trailer, but yeah, like I enjoyed the Dark Picture games. They're flawed, but I've definitely enjoyed everything that Supermassive has put out. And if this is like a higher budget version of that, certainly into that. And my guess is that'll help fund additional Dark Picture games. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. It's a quiet week. EA announced that they're not doing an EA Play this year. Or, I mean, I should say not at E3 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, you know, that week. They're not doing it in June. Let's go with that.
Okay. I think they did one last year, but it was like in July or something. It was like further out.
It was, yeah, it was not memorable. And I was happy because honestly, and they're not the only ones guilty of this, where they've done showcases where it's like, you have nothing to show. You don't need to put on a song and dance for the rest of us. We don't care.
Yeah, I don't need you to spend an hour to show me FIFA and Madden.
Yeah. Or like concept art of a game that may or may not come out ever. Yep. So yes, what else is there? I mean, I think that was the gist of it.
Mario Kart 8 stuff is coming out. Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
We'll be out by the time people hear this.
Yes, it will be out.
What do we get? Like 6 tracks at a time?
8 tracks, so you get 2 new cups.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm excited.
I'm excited partially because I have not or do not play Mario Kart Tour. So, like, all of the tour content is brand new to me.
Or is the phone game, right?
Yeah. So I think
Are they bringing tracks from that? I didn't realize that.
Well, I mean, as according to everybody, the tracks from the DLC are the remakes from Tour. So it's like, but yes, they're also coming via this. So I think this one is something like, it's probably 4 and 4 or something, or 5 and 3, where there are like a few tracks from Tour that is coming. And that's because like a lot of those are actually based off of real world, real cities as well, which is not something you typically get in Mario Kart. But yes, again, those are like brand new to me. So I'm very curious to see how that goes.
Like, Tour did have original tracks, yes, and some of them are coming to yes, this. Awesome.
That'd
be totally new to me.
Yeah. What I'm curious about, which I doubt, is the 2 arcade games. Like, if any of the tracks from those games are coming over.
They got a lot of room.
I'd be surprised if they did, honestly.
48 courses, so. It's a lot of room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what that stuff is.
And the other thing, which I am actually, a lot of the times, you know, like the bar is set kind of for Nintendo to jump over, is that they will add the courses to rotation online. So even if you don't have them, you can still play them.
That's neat.
So, and I assume that's probably more so for like playing with friends and not necessarily randos. But it is nice that it's not like, you know, like, you know, like, because it would make it awkward if it's like, okay, this person has these 8 tracks and you don't. Then you either limit the pool of the people who can play, or, you know, so it's like, yeah, you can play those tracks online without having purchased the DLC, which again also isn't a big deal because you get it in, you get it as part of the NSO expansion pack. So, I mean, I know Jeff and I already have it, so.
You didn't get it, Chris?
I've not gotten it yet. I will.
I might as well for this. I would. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for 48 additional tracks, like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think there's much other news, you know, game-wise. I will hopefully have Chocobo Racing next week. And maybe, what's it, Stranger of Paradise, the Final Fantasy Origins game.
What I am most excited for, I don't know if we'll all do it or have time for it next week, is the premiere of the Halo shows next Thursday.
Yes, I definitely want to check that out too.
And it looks like it's only one episode, so yeah, I could probably squeeze that in. So yes, I am curious, because I mean, I don't, if you know Rotten Tomatoes, it's very hard for a TV show to get negative reviews, and somehow this is already at 60%, so.
Yeah, it's not a
Halo show.
Yeah. It's not great. But we'll see. I'm hoping it turns out okay.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with possibly Halo and some other games, and hopefully Tony will be back. And yeah, we'll have some stuff there. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.